This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1890. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, notably shortwave. On this edition recorded August 8th, Australia, Biafra, Bougainville, Bulgaria, Canal Zone, China, Cuba, Eritrea, Fiji, Germany, Guam, India, Indonesia, Isle of Man, Korea South, Kuwait, New Zealand, North America, Oman, Papua New Guinea, Peru, Spain, USA, Yemen, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Ian of NSW sends us links to a number of opinion pieces by the respected journalist Graham Dobell, which have been published at www.aspistrategist.org.au. Here's part of one of them, headlined, A Dumb Oz Decision in the South Pacific. The decision of the ABC to end shortwave broadcast to the South Pacific is a serious blunder based on a shrinking insular view of Australian Broadcasting Corporation responsibilities. ABC should be embarrassed that 31 January marked the end of 8 decades of Australian shortwave to the islands. Overturning that lousy policy call with an annual price tag of only $2 to $3 megadollars should provide the opportunity for ABC to halt its exit from the South Pacific and start rebuilding. It would be a chance to recognize that the broad policy trend is wrong. ABC killed shortwave based on a penny-pinching false dichotomy between shortwave or FM. The chant was, shortwave old, FM new. The choice is dumb because it misunderstands the central role radio still plays in the South Pacific. Only an organization that spent the last decade withdrawing resources from the South Pacific would have been trapped into choosing between shortwave and FM transmitters. Shortwave speaks to a whole country, while FM's more limited reach means it covers the capital or a region. Both services are essential in the South Pacific because radio is vital to the life of the islands. Edwin Ritz in Denmark forwards an article from the Nigeria Daily Post of August 1st, New Pro-Biafra Station on Shortwave. The leader of the Biafra Independent Movement, BIM, Ralph Uwazuruike, has disclosed plans to launch a new pro-Biafra radio station known as Voice of Biafra International. VOBI, located in Germany, would commence broadcasting on shortwave this week. But no further details. The German reference presumably means the transmission would be handled by MBR, but we find no new entries on their schedule which would match up with this. And is this really new? There was an active Voice of Biafra from 2007 to 2014, which we find in our archives. So who will discover the new time and frequency for this station? Kai Ludwig replies, there was already a Voice of Biafra International on air from 2001 to 2009, and its broadcasts are still online at www.biafraland.com/vobi.htm. But this was supposedly produced in Washington, so it appears that it was run by other people. So far, nothing about all this on their own website and social media accounts. They name it the Movement for the Actualization of the Sovereign State of Biafra, but misspell sovereign, thus defeating searching. It remains to be seen if anything will come of this announcement. Usually there are two stations on 3325 until about 12 UT. On August 4th and 6th, I was hearing NBC Bougainville until it went off about 1200, uncovering the weaker station, RRI Palangkaraya, Indonesia. However, on the intervening date, August 5th, Ron Howard in California says that NBC was absent, so he was able to hear RRI between 11:39 and 12:34. Anyhow, RRI normally stays on much longer. Ron says on August 3rd, he was hearing it at 14:13 after local news when they played the patriotic national song, Dirgahayu Indonesiaku. Remember that August 17th is Independence Day in Indonesia, so all month long they'll be playing that song at the end of all the news programs. In communication of the British DX Club, Darren Rozier reported on 3 July, visiting Varna on the Black Sea in Bulgaria, he contacted Radio Bulgaria to check the timing of the English language bulletins on Radio Varna. And this reply came from Daniela Konstantinova of Radio Bulgaria's English service. Unfortunately, the foreign language service of Bulgarian National Radio is being reformed and is currently in big turmoil. We do not know whether and how our programs will survive. So we no longer prepare webcasts for Radio Varna, and this is likely to go on for the whole summer. Of course, for quite some time now, Radio Bulgaria's external service, including English, has existed only as a webcast. Via John Fisher of the BADX group, via CIDX Messenger, this about a Panama Canal Zone project. It's from Mike Paulson, P-A-U-L-S-O-N, who says, I'm working to create a comprehensive historical record of ham operators who were active in the Panama Canal Zone from 1920 to 1979. He's asking for scans of QSL cards and any other information. Here's the website for more. sites.google.com/site/KZ5WHAT/, all lowercase. Ron Howard in California reports about Beibu Bay Radio on 5050 from China. That's B-E-I-B-U-B-A-Y. Back in September 2016, during the 13 to 14 UT time period, they changed from being in Chinese over to Vietnamese. But this year, August 3rd at 13:40, they were clearly back to Chinese, but included an ID in English as Beibu Bay Radio. Time pips at 1400 and time in Chinese and English for Beijing. And Guangxi Beibu Bay Radio ID in English. They had some BBR evening news as an intro, but then went into Vietnamese. The other station on 5050, he says, All India Radio, has not been heard for a while. So has Beibu Bay Radio gone completely back to Chinese during that hour? Following up the next day, August 4th, Ron says, yes, they have reverted back to their pre-September schedule, mostly in Chinese, but no brief English segment. They continue with the previous format of having a brief Thai language segment at 13:31, otherwise in Chinese. And about another Chinese regional station, Ron Howard says, on 6200 Voice of Jianling, this is a very cosmopolitan station. For over a month now, just after sign-on, I've been hearing nice traditional French songs, very entertaining, such as August 4th at 12:38 and 12:47, with the French songs, otherwise in Chinese, with what sounded like many commercial announcements. There was very light QRM from Tibet also on the frequency. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, reports August 4th that the 17th program of China National Radio has reactivated a long inactive frequency, 11630, from the LIN transmitter site, on the air from 2355 until 1805. But currently, there are other stations it's now interfering with. At 1427 for half an hour, Radio Veritas Asia via Vatican, and at 16 to 17, The Voice of America in Tibetan and CNR 1 jamming. And there could be an interference with Kuwait if they should reactivate 11630 between 1015 and 1600. Via Argentina's GRA blog, sourced to the CMHW website in Cuba, temporary frequency change of Radio Relo in Villa Clara, dated August 4th. Because of repairs to the transmission tower, the usual frequency of Radio Relo, 570 kHz, is temporarily replaced by 1550. Manuel Mendez in Spain notes the current off frequency for one of the Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea programs on the 40-meter ham band around 1730 UT, both August 3rd and 5th, 7176.5 to 7176.6. Gary DeBock has been reporting to IRCA on his latest Rockwork Ocean Cliff de-expedition near Manzanita, Oregon, with his unique FSL antenna. The cliffs right next to the highway turnoff are believed to enhance Trans-Pacific medium wave reception, or at least block reception interfering from the east. One of the notable finds, according to him, was that Radio Fiji 1 on 558 kHz has had energetic signals, sounding much better than its anemic reputation of the past few years, so perhaps the transmitter is now fully repaired. They have island choral music, reminding him of the old 639 kHz Fiji transmitter in years past. This is just before local sunrise, 13 UT. Trying to hear the weekly broadcast of the mighty KBC from the Netherlands via now in Germany. UT Sundays at midnight to 02 on 9925. Both on July 23rd and August 6th. I could barely hear them. On August 6th, there was probably a geomagnetic storm which might account for it. If the signal is heading too far north across the auroral zone to reach me here in mid-America. But checking my globe, I find that Nauen is at essentially the same bearing from here as Bucharest and Ankara. It's grazing 61 degrees north, is still south of the Arctic Circle off Iceland. And as a matter of fact, Greece was still putting in a very good signal, as well as Romania, a few kilohertz away on the same 9 megahertz band, 9790 and 9730, at midnight 55 UT, August 6th. So is something wrong at the Nauen transmitter site? Regarding that new shortwave station in Germany I mentioned last week on 6160 and 3975, it attracted a lot of attention, at least among Europeans who could hear it part of the time, but the test schedule was actually very sporadic. As to the location, Wolfgang Büschel says it's at Winsen-Lühe, south of Hamburg, Germany. That's W-I-N-S-E-N hyphen L-U-H-E. Via Mike Terry, Mike Sabin of KTWR Guam informed on the WRTH Facebook group via Mauno Riitela on August 2nd. KTWR reaches its 40th anniversary of broadcasting on 5 September. I don't think we'll be doing any special broadcast, but we do have a 40th anniversary QSL card designed. The card should arrive soon. Please let your DX Club members know in case they want to collect this special event card. If we do any special broadcasts, I'll let you know. They would likely be DRM. The website is www.twr.asia/about/Guam. Lacking an explicit published program schedule from All India Radio, Alan Rowe has been monitoring to determine when their mailbag program is really going on the air, called Faithfully Yours. It's at certain times on their Monday broadcast, usually heard on alternate weeks. But does that mean first and third Mondays, or is it just every other Monday? Well, there was a program on July 31st and also August 7th. So that means the next one should be August 21st and September 4th. And perhaps what they're really doing is airing it on the first and third Mondays, and, when there is one, on the fifth Monday. Via Internet, International Vacuum, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio, 1890. Also bringing you the website, worldofradio.com, all of which are completely non-commercial, and thus we appreciate voluntary financial support. Our thanks this week to Chuck Ermatinger in St. Louis for a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. And from abroad, there is no need to contribute in U.S. funds, as PayPal will convert other funds. One may also send a check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. Isle of Man. Mike Terry says an intriguing announcement on the Radio Caroline website about Manx Radio 1368 kHz. Our friendship with Manx Radio will extend further and longer than we imagined. The 1368 AM transmitter on the island that was scheduled for closure will now be overhauled to stay on air. Maybe we'll have more to announce on August 13th. Mike also forwards this news from Radio Today in the UK. Manx Radio is marking the 50th anniversary of the Marine Offences Act with special programs live from the Ross Revenge. 50 years on August 14th since the act became law, which made it illegal to broadcast music radio from a vessel on the high seas. The programs entitled When Pirates Waived the Rules will air from Saturday 12th to Tuesday 15th August. The Saturday morning program, Carnaby Street, will be broadcast live from Radio Caroline's radio ship on the 12th of August from 8:30 a.m. local time, with live updates over the weekend. The anniversary of the so-called Marine Offences Act is a really big deal in Britain, and I've heard about more special broadcasts to commemorate it, such as on the non-pirate WBCQ. John Carver heard it mentioned on Alan Wiener World Ride that a special program airs August 12th at 5 to 8 Eastern, that's 21 to midnight UT, on 7490, on the history of the British radio ship Pirates preempting shortwave Saturday night for that evening. Ron Howard in California reports on the current odd programming on 4885 Echo of Hope, VOH, South Korea. On August 8th, instead of the normal starting and ending at the top of the hour for the one-hour program called Radio Broadcasting Guide, which is repeated again every hour, that day it was far out of sync, and with some transmitter problems, there was a two-minute break at 13:20 and a four-minute break at 13:23. At 13:22, a bell or gong was rung slowly three times in the regular intro to the program. Normally that would have been at 13:03, so it was about 19 minutes late. The next hour at 14:20 and 14:23, there was no transmitter problem, but still out of sync by the same amount of time. In the Ontario DX Association, Mark Cody says, on 15540 Radio Kuwait at 1958 UT August 2nd, no audio, but the hash and noise that suggests a DRM signal, a good signal level, but nothing to hear. He says, I will take this out of my memory bank. They've abandoned analog shortwave in favor of DRM, largely a dead mode outside of Asia, with precious little in the way of reliable receivers to decode it, and precious few listeners who can afford the receivers that do work. Radio Kuwait has definitely shot themselves in the foot. Well, they haven't totally abandoned analog yet. Some of their non-English broadcasts have not yet been converted to DRM. More about the anomalous situation at Radio New Zealand International while their 325-degree antenna is out of service. I've been in contact with Barry Hartley, who is in a position to know what's going on at RNZI. However, I noticed that their own schedules on the website never show two headings at once. Rather, always the Pacific, except at 11 to 13 for Papua New Guinea. So, the question is, when it is working, is the 325 antenna still getting half the power, even when the PNG is not singled out as the target? And only the other half, 50 kilowatts, on the 35-degree antenna toward us. HFCC registrations do show 50 kilowatt each on both antennas almost all the time, except for DRM, along with many alternate frequencies. I figured this was to cover possible contingency changes rather than actual usage all the time. Barry Hartley replies, yes. Both antennas, 35 and 325 degrees, are used most of the time. The 100 kilowatt is split between them. The only exceptions are the DRM service at 1645 to 2050 UT on weekdays, when it's 35 kilowatts DRM. The PNG Bougainville service at 11 to 13 has all the 100 kilowatts beamed at 325 when it's operational. RNZI always runs at 100 kilowatts. By the way, it's now officially called RNZ Pacific since May, although the term RNZI is also used. So now I'm wondering, during the 325-degree antenna downtime, are all the frequencies on the 35 antenna getting the full 100 kilowatt instead of just 50, thus improving temporarily reception this way overall? Rick Barton in Arizona notes that the Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH was active again on UT August 3rd at 0345 on 7585. And 2 nights later, August 5th at 0543, I detected a JBA carrier on that frequency, presumed YHWH. As mentioned last week, Radio Sultanate of Oman was varying a lot in its scheduling of English vis-a-vis Arabic on 15140 or other frequencies. The English hour had been at 14 UT on 15140, but for a while it was starting at 15 for 1 hour or even longer. Paul Walker in Pennsylvania, Hardcore DX, says, all this month through August 26th, they're doing a live broadcast from the Shlala Festival at 15 to 16 UT, inviting people from all over. I wonder if English switches back after the festival, and they're using shortwave to reach out to folks in more far-flung parts of Oman or nearby countries. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, says, here's another change, as monitored August 2nd. 9540 was in Arabic at 02 to 3, English at 3 to 4, but English continued until 1000 on 9540 instead of 13600. Ivo Ivanov dares to issue an updated schedule, although it may change from day to day, including some other frequencies, at 22 to 24 in Arabic on 9740, midnight to 02 Arabic on 9500. We've also heard it some evenings around midnight on 12015. Papua New Guinea, Ron Howard says the only station other than Bougainville 3325 currently active is 3260 NBC Madang. On August 4th, it was heard running longer than 3325 with on-air phone calls in Pidgin until cutoff at 1224. He says, since the election results, Madang has had a good number of these call-in shows, presumably about the recent election. It's not nearly as strong as Bougainville 3325. The other ones, which had been sporadically active, are currently not heard on 3275 and 3365. On August 6th, I timed the Radio Chosky Peru cutoff on 5980 at 2341 and 8.5 seconds, comparing to the last time I monitored it 17 days earlier. It's still slipping very close to an average rate of 6.7 seconds per 24 hours. That's within a few hundredths of a second, so it's right on schedule. I love this precision and such an unintentional display from an otherwise boring gospel huckster station. On August 3rd, I found the Radio Exterior de España had finally reactivated its North American frequency, 17855, after a week or so missing. At 21:41 UT, they were amid a two-hour evening program on weekdays called Noches de Verano, as Alan Rowe researched. I notice they don't hesitate to play pop music in English. The blurb about the show says, a different way to spend the summer nights with refreshing proposals. Culture, music, science, and current affairs interact with listeners. Travel with us through the waves for a summer full of emotions and without leaving home, at least until early September. Probably corrected by the time you hear this, but the WBCQ 9 MHz frequency, which had been slightly above 9330, was much above on August 4th through 7th at least, measured on 9331.31 to 9331.5, including World of Radio at 2330. As of August 2nd, I noticed that WRMI had resumed running the Power Hour weekdays from 13 to 15 UT on three frequencies, 7780, 9395, and 9455. So during that period, the oldies were nowhere, man. Furthermore, the VOA newscasts on the top of the hour had been removed. There's no Power Hour on weekends, of course, so back to oldies on those days for the most part. Ed Insiger in New Jersey says, I heard a program for the first time entitled The Next Chapter. Wednesday at 23 UT on WBCQ 7490. Very interesting programming and philosophy about using the knowledge of books of today, spreading their ideas to the remotest villages and the smallest hamlets throughout the world via shortwave. It's called The Next Chapter, or Radio Alexandria. I was both fascinated and impressed. Check their website for more details, www.radioalexandria.net. Ben Cobb sends an FCC notice with no details that Terms Tech, T-U-R-M-S-T-E-C-H, has been granted a construction permit by the FCC. That's for DRM broadcasts from New Jersey. Terms Tech was founded by that Forest Products and Finance guy, as previously reported. Speaking of DRM, Mark Cody reports to the ODXA hearing an episode of AWR Wavescan August 4th, Friday at 20 UT on WRMI 11580, with a report on WWCR and a possible inclusion of DRM broadcasting to their schedule. Mark says, heaven forbid, it's a colossal mistake. A Radio World story of August 3rd via Kevin Redding, ABDX, says FM translator window ends with 1,000 stations in the game. Chairman Pai called it a success. More than 1,000 AM radio stations participated in the FM translator filing window that concluded before 6 p.m. August 2nd. Beginning July 26th, this short period gave some Class C and D AM stations the opportunity to apply for new FM translators. So the FM band will be clogged more and more with AM relays. One of the lingering mysteries in shortwave broadcasting is Republic of Yemen Radio, a clandestine broadcast on 11860. That is, it's the Saudi-backed side in the Yemeni civil war, more or less prolonging the previous regime's broadcasting service. It's on the air 24 hours, and it's pretty obviously transmitted from Saudi Arabia, at least part of the time. Lacking any official acknowledgement, the assumption has been it's a spare transmitter at the old Jeddah site. However, close monitoring reveals there is a switch to a different transmitter and probably at a different site at least twice a day. Wolfgang Büschel has been trying this further using remote receivers in Oman and Qatar. He says, I checked between 1755 and 18 UT on August 4th. The signal strength was very good until a switch over at exactly 1757-59 UT, when a very poor tiny signal was left on that channel, S3 to 4. So, the assumption is that the Jeddah site close to Yemen is used during the local daytime at 0400 to 1757 UT, and the Riyadh, Saudi Arabia site at nighttime between 1800 and 0400 more or less, which can cover Yemen better at night. The propagation outlook from Boulder, G1 minor storms likely, August 18th with A's and K indices of 18 and 5, and on the 31st, 24 and 5. Solar flux 74 August 13th, dropping to 70 by the 15th through the 26th. And that's World of Radio 1890. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.